First John chapter 4, today we will look at verse 20 through verse 5 of chapter 5. First John 4, 20 through 5. Let's read through this passage together. You follow along and then we'll pray again. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God love his brother also. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot it also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word, the Holy Bible, living word of God. Thank you that in it you show us, Holy Spirit, the truth that is a person, Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you and we welcome you. And we invite you to walk among us and have your way with us. For we trust in you. And our faith is in you. Lord, I pray that you give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to believe, that you will be glorified in each of our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The title of my message this morning is Liars, Lovers, and Overcomers. That just kind of fit. Didn't take much creativity. For that, it's right there in the scripture. It's interesting to me that John, the beloved disciple, the primary description he gives of himself is the disciple whom Jesus loved. And he is a disciple who speaks more about love probably than maybe any other writer in the scripture. Paul would certainly be a close second. But a man who focuses on love so much does not hesitate three times in this short letter to call people liars. And the reason he's doing that, as we have said, is because his intention in this letter is to make the children of God, make the followers of Christ acutely aware that there is a work afoot. There is an operation of the enemy. There is a heresy. There is a disease trying to infiltrate the body of Christ to cut people off from knowing Jesus Christ. Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Son of God. God incarnate, the only way of salvation. And actually, there's no contradiction there, because John is such a man of love that he passionately, devotedly loves his brothers and sisters in Christ, his little children, as he calls them over and again in this book. He is so devotedly loving them that he is tenacious in his attack upon anything that would threaten their well-being. He's used that word, that description, that accusation of individuals three times now. This is the third in this letter. He said, if anyone says, I love God, you know, that's easy enough to say. But if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. There's no way that the truth abides in him. You can't say, you can't declare, you can't believe in reality that you love God and nurse and hold and maintain hatred towards another brother or sister in Christ. John says, you are a liar. You are in deception. You are deceiving yourself. He says back earlier in the book, in chapter 2, he says, now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is completed or perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him also ought to walk just as he walked. Then he says in verse 9, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and then there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. You see, John is intentionally set about to describe, as we've talked about before studying this book, what a real Christian looks like. He's not spending a great deal of time, though he is spending some, describing what makes a person, or what defines a person as not truly being a follower of Christ. But he's making a strong point on what it is to be a follower of Christ. And to be a follower of Christ, to be a genuine child of God, he makes it clear. It's obeying his commandments, and then he makes it clear what those commandments are. We read that earlier in the book, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God. And he says in another place, he who is in the light, he who is in the love of God, believes that Jesus is the Son of God and loves with God's love. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him and he in God. If you are truly following Christ, love dwells in your heart. There's a supernatural Holy Spirit genetic implant in your being. And you cannot but love. Now you can deal with, face, have to recognize and overcome unlovely things. Unlovely actions, unlovely behavior in yourself and in others. But if you belong to him, you will come back to love. Love will shine. That's where light is. John said, if you don't walk in that love, if that love does not exist in you, then you're stumbling in the darkness. Deception is something rampant in our world and culture today. But he goes on, of course, that's the negative side of it, the negative part of the description, but then he turns to the positive definition, the positive characteristics of those following Christ. He says, in verse 21, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. You see, you can't love God. Some people think they do. Some people are certain that they love God. We watched the movie Jesus Revolution yesterday. And, you know, in the movie, there are those depicted in the church who are convinced that they love God. But they don't love others. And because they don't love others, when the others come in who don't look and act, smell like them, they left. There was no real presence of the love of God in them. John says here, this isn't a suggestion, this is a commandment. This is an absolute in the kingdom of God. He who loves God loves his brother also. Love is a defining characteristic of those who follow Christ. And there is another one, as I've said already. The other one is faith. He says in chapter 5, verse 1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whoever loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. Faith in Jesus. You see, it seems too simple. It seems too easy. It seems too easy to fake, maybe is the word. To have this idea that to believe that Jesus is God's Son who was incarnate, who came as a human being, died for our sins, was buried and rose again, and sits at the Father's right hand, will return one day and set up his eternal kingdom. To believe that sets you into the place. It sets in motion the act of God called the new birth, where you become what you were not. In fact, what you were is crucified. It dies in that moment, in that instant. The old you dies and you are born again. You are born anew. All your sins, all your past, everything you're ashamed of, everything you regret is washed away and stands no longer between you and God. And you are given a new life that is an eternal life that lasts forever, that is without end, that is without a number on the days because you believed that Jesus is the Christ. You said yes to Jesus and the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, created a miracle, the new birth, and you were made a child of God. That seems too simple. That seems too far-fetched. But it isn't. And every person who has experienced it knows it isn't. Because it changes you. It changes your life. It's not a fairy tale. It doesn't mean it's happily ever after from that moment on. Absolutely not. But it is new life and eternal life and joy that you can experience even when you're not happy. But whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, faith, is born of God. It's a God act. Then he says, and everyone who loves him who begot, everyone who loves the Father, everyone who loves God, which is what you do when you're born again, you can't help but love him. To experience salvation in Christ, to experience the new birth, to be redeemed, how could you not love him? But everyone, John says, who loves him, loves those who are born of him. In other words, you love your brother and sisters. As surely as you love God, as surely as you've come into the family of God, love has been birthed in your heart for all the rest of the family, for all of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I know that's not always easy. One comedian noted recently that most crimes of violence occur in the family. So he said, don't lock your doors. You may have to escape in a hurry. Now, we laugh at that, maybe, and it sounds kind of funny, but sadly, it's no laughing matter for many people. But in the church, in the body of Christ, John says it ought not to be so. For every one of us who have experienced the same mercy and grace of God can extend that to one another. And the most evident thing about us when anyone walks through that door should be how much we love God, and because of that love we have received from Him, how much we love each other. How much love we extend to each other. Faith is the avenue and the evidence of the new birth. And it brings us out of and into victory. A new life. We are transformed. It makes us a difference. Everyone who loves God, who gave them life, who birthed them into His kingdom, loves Him who is birthed into His kingdom. By this, he says in verse 2, we know that we love the children of God. Now, this is kind of strange, but it's not really if you follow John's line of thought. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. How do you know you love each other? When you love God and when doing God's will is what your desire is. When His commandments are what's in your heart to do. Now, we're not talking about 613 like the Jews or the Pharisees had, rules and laws and commandments. We're talking about the commandments that John has mentioned. And what are they? Love God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not all that complicated. It's not real hard. And that's what John goes on to point out. For this is the love of God. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. But John's already established what those commandments are. Like I said, it's love God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep on trusting Him all through life. And guess what? It takes trust. It takes faith sometimes to love. Sometimes you experience things in life where it takes an act of faith to continue to love God. You may get angry. You may get upset. You may get challenged. Your faith may get challenged through something you experience, but by faith you continue to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that God is good, that God does love you no matter what has happened. And in that faith, you can love. You receive His love. You experience His love. And you love Him. Because that trusting Him, that loving Him, is your expression of faith and love to Him. He says His commandments are not burdensome. His commandments are not a big chore. But because we're family, because we love one another, because He first loved us, we become like Christ. We do what pleases our Father. That's what Jesus said. He said, I don't do anything on my own, only what I hear and see from the Father. And then He makes a point that it's not burdensome to do so because of the love of God and faith joined together in our hearts. Jesus said in Matthew 11:29-30, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. John said it's not burdensome. Why? Verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Our third point, overcomers. Obviously the second was lovers, loving God, loving one another. Then in verse 4, whatever is born of God. Who's born of God? He said in verse 1, everyone that believes on Jesus. If you believe on Jesus, if Jesus Christ lives in you, because you believed on Him, said yes to Him in faith, put your trust in Him, you committed to Him, you received Him, He became your Lord and Savior, you showed that to the world through baptism, you are His. then you overcome. You overcome. You will overcome. He says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. When John wants to make a point, he does it real clearly. He says three times in these two verses, overcomes the world. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Faith and love are inextricably woven together in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And they both are the characteristic of the presence of Christ, of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. That is the miracle of the new birth. Paul says in Galatians 5:6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith which works by love. Faith which works by love. Three times John says, he who believes in Jesus overcomes the world. Now that's something you might want to underline. Because things are going crazy in our world. Wouldn't you say? And I have a sense. And a lot of people that I have a lot of respect for who know the Lord have had a lot to say. Things may well get a good bit crazier before they get better in this world. But we have a promise. You have a promise. Every believer in Jesus Christ, every person who loves God and in that love loves one another because they belong to Jesus, has a promise. And that promise is that their faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Whatever goes on in this world, your faith overcomes it. You say, well, I don't have much faith. I'm not a big, great faith person. I'm not just full of faith. That isn't what it says. Your faith, the faith that you have that got you into the kingdom of God, that opened the door to Jesus for the miracle of the new birth to take place, that faith he gave you overcomes the world. Jesus said in John 16:33, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He said it in verse 5, he who overcomes, who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. It's not a matter of having big faith. It's not a matter of having a lot of faith. It's a matter of having faith in our big God. We overcome not by the amount of faith we have, but it's faith that connects us to, or it's trust that connects us to, a God who can, a God who has. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. God is faithful. God provides. Our faith is enough. We can trust in him wherever we find ourselves. I read a story. Man was scheduled to speak for an important business dinner. As the elegant meal was set down in front of him, he was struck with the horrible realization that he'd left his false teeth at home. In a paralyzing panic, he prayed, Lord, help. The man next to him heard him say something. He said, what did you say? He muttered to the man next to him, I can't believe I forgot my teeth. No problem, a man whispered back at him. I've got an extra pair you can use. The man reached into his pocket. He said, I just came from work. Actually, I was running late. Reached into his pocket and pulled out a few sets of false teeth and presented them to him, the frantic speaker. The first out of his pocket, he handed him, and it was too tight. The second pair he tried, it was too loose. The third pair fit like a dream. The spoker, The speaker, now totally relieved, greatly enjoyed his meal and delivered an excellent speech, one of the best of his life. At the end of the evening, the speaker heartily thanked the man who had saved him from his embarrassment. "You really did me a great favor tonight. You know, I've been looking for a good dentist. Where are you located?" "Oh, I'm not a dentist," the helpful man replied. "I'm an undertaker." God may not provide the way you're expecting, but you can trust God. Have faith in Jesus. You will overcome. One more. Well, that's a story. This is a real happening. And a more serious note. A friend of mine, Brother Gary Fritz, down in Dothan, Alabama, a man that I went on a mission trip to India with. I was associate pastor in the church where he was for a member for many years. Vicki and I were them. They're close friends of ours, and we had ministered in India together. And last month, when we were down on vacation, I spent a morning with Gary, and he had another man there who is from India. He's you'd call him a missionary, but he's actually an Indian man, Christian, but he oversees a lot of churches and has quite a ministry there. But he was in the States, just sharing what was going on, sharing the situation, and seeking God's provision and help in northern India. And of course, I haven't heard much about this on the news, but in northern India there has been such a rising of the Hindus against Christianity. In fact, you probably have heard that their latest president over the last several years is a radical Hindu, and he has made it extremely hard for Christians and the church of Jesus in India. It's gotten harder and harder. Well, anyway, in northern India, in a very remote area called Manipur, the Hindu leaders there have brought about tremendous persecution against Christians and the churches. They've burned many churches to the ground. They've burned many houses of Christians to the ground with the Christians in them. They have killed many Christians and those who could have fled to the mountains. Well, this man that I mentioned that was in India and that Gary and I know was, as I said, staying at Gary's house. And that's when he comes here, he stays with various people that know him. And he goes around into various churches that will allow him to speak. And so he was doing that in Dothan. And Gary told me that he was really praying to raise $10,000. This man, as I said, has an old truck, and he hauls food because he knows where the Christians are hiding in the mountains. He is taking the food to them, hauling rice up there to where they have fled to and are seeking to live and survive. And his truck was about to die, was on its last leg. And so he was praying to raise $10,000. And that's what Gary told me at breakfast. And so we prayed together about this $10,000. Gary was really hoping, but not real confident. He was going to speak in several different churches around the area. And he did that. And of course, we left after that day and came back home. And I got a text message from Gary this week. That man had just left Gary's house. He had finished the commitments that he had there and the opportunities he had there to share and was going on to see someone else. But Gary sent me in a text, and he said, he called himself, "O ye of little faith." he said, "Brother," this man's name, just left the house, headed to his next place. He said, but he didn't leave with $10,000. He left with $40,000. And he said, looking at myself in the mirror, I said, "Oh, ye of little faith." He said, but I said, "No more." No more. And that's what John is calling us to here. He's reminding us we have a big God. Our God reigns. Our God is the Almighty. And He invites us to believe, to live in love. How could you not believe and trust? And I say that to myself. How can we not believe and trust in a God who loves us that much? And if he loves us that much, we can love each other. He enables us to do that. And by that faith, to overcome the world. Whatever goes on, whatever comes, whatever happens, it can't separate us from his love. And we can trust and believe and know that we overcome. Liars, lovers, or overcomers. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your provision. Thanks for sending your blessing to help the believers in the church in Manipur, India. Thank you for the others who will help them. Thank you for your help for us, for each of us, even in loving others as we love ourselves. Lord, let our love for you and our faith in Jesus truly be the defining characteristic of our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.